Rabbi Erfel Katz.
Good morning, good Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei. Possibly one of the most fall asleep sedras in the Torah, if it could be such a thing, could Chas V'Shalom be said. But it is the great Chazora, where kemat nothing is changed, added, maybe one or two details, but it is almost a verbatim repetition, which is what verbatim is, of Parshas Truma Tetzaveh. And the Sforim discuss why it is that every single detail of the Mishkan is written again. In fact, this is the biggest subject in the Torah by space, by lines, by words, by the amount of space devoted in the Torah. This is by far, the Mishkan is by far the biggest subject compared to Briyas Olam, which takes up 31 Pesukim. The Mishkan, which lasted for no more than a few years, relatively, while they were in the Midbar, and then parts of it lasted a little bit longer till Shiloh, where things changed anyway. It wasn't the original Mishkan. It was a very, very temporary blip in the history of Klal Yisrael, in the history of Mekomos HaKadoshim, and yet it is the biggest subject by space in the Torah. And that begs a question: why should this be so? Why does the Torah find it so important to repeat every single detail when it could simply have said, Vayasu kashetzivo Hashem es Moshe kainosu? The whole thing could have been done in that one sentence. So, I quote from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, I'm sure others for him say the same thing, but let's give an idea that comes from Dor HaChaim. Dor HaChaim quotes Ramban, where the pasuk in this week's Sedra says, Kol nediv liboy yevi'eho eis terumas Hashem. Everyone who had generosity of his spirit, generosity of the heart, should bring it, the truma of Hashem, the donation to Hashem. Kol nediv liboy yevi'eho eis terumas Hashem. What's the little grammatical issue with this phrase? Koil nediv libo yovi es trumas Hashem. He should bring yovi trumas Hashem, yovi u trumas Hashem, yes. Yovi eho means they should bring it, that feminine thing, whatever it is, es trumas Hashem, with the truma of Hashem. That's how it reads as it is. And the Ramban makes a comment which the Ora Chaim explains, and he says that they're not just bringing the donation, they're bringing it with the donation. They're bringing something with the donation. What are they bringing? They're bringing the bit of Shechina, the spark of Shechina that resides in every person's heart, which is sparked when they are willing and happy and eager to do something for Hashem. They bring that with the Nedava, and that bringing of the Shechina is what really makes the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. It's not we build the structure, Shechina comes. If the structure isn't built with the quality of Nediv Lev, which brings the Shechina in the heart and with the heart, then the Shechina won't be present in the building afterwards. It isn't the building, it's the heart in the building. And it's not just the heart, it's the Shechina in the heart that comes and brings the Shechina to the Mishkan. And therefore the Rechaim says, Yevi'eho, this is what the Ramban means, Yevi'eho, you should bring the Shechina with the Truma. Because when you put your heart into it, it's Nediv Lev, then the Shechina arrives, and that imbues the Shechina in the end product. And that's why the Torah says Lev so many times in the building of the Mishkan. Nediv Lev, Chochmas Lev, Nedivli, by various expressions of putting the Lev, which means Hashem himself, putting the Hashem into it. Because when you open your heart and you do something for the sake of Hashem, with willingness, with generosity, with eagerness, that brings the Shekhinah into your heart, and that puts the Shekhinah into whatever else it is, into what it is. And therefore, the summary of the Mishkan and the Shekhinah in the Mishkan could be summed up as Rachmana Libo Boy. He wants you to bring him into your heart and put that into whatever it is that you're doing. He wants the heart into it. He wants the Shekhinah, his presence, to be put into whatever it is. And that is the fulfillment of the entire Bria. That action that a person will take that imbues the Shekhinah into the world, that puts the Shekhinah into our maisim, our actions, that is the entirety of what the world was for. And therefore it's not such a surprise that it is repeated and repeated in such great detail. Because this is the fulfillment of everything. Whereas all the mitzvahs can be written in a couple of words and left to Torah Shebaal Peh to expound on, whereas other things they don't take up a lot of space, even the Shabbos, which is a huge subject. And Lamites Malachas are just about hinted at in the Torah, that barely mentioned. But Maisim Shel Tzadikim take up the most space. The Maisim of the Ovois, because it's Rachmona Liboboi, whether it's the Gemilas Chasodim of Ovois that put the Shekhinah into whatever they were doing, whatever it is that they did, that takes up a whole sefer. And now it's the Maisim of the Tzadikim, where they built something for Hashem and they put the Shekhinah into that, that takes up the space. And we see a similar grand repetition somewhere else in the Torah. Where else in the Torah is there a grand repetition? By Avram. Eliezer Avram there is, yes? And the Nesiim as well. Eliezer Avram was his whole heart, wasn't it? Because it was the quality of his putting his heart into it and not have it allowing his own personal interest. It was the quality of the Lishma in it. That brings the Shekhinah to it expands the Shekhinah. And similarly we find by the Nesiim, that in this week's Sedra they're Choser, because they lack the lave in it. We'll do whatever else. It wasn't the eager, because someone who's eager and enthusiastic doesn't wait till the end to see. He gets on with it and does what should be done, and don't worry about what other people will do. That's the quality of eagerness, that's the quality of the lave, and to lack that means lacking in the presence of Hashem. A lacking in the connection to Hashem, which means something is missing in the Torah. It's lacking in the person. And therefore, when they eventually did put their heart into it, when they put their lave, which means they brought the Shekhinah into all of this, it expands the Shekhinah in the world, and it expands the presence of the Shekhinah in the Torah, and that's why these things are repeated in such great detail. The Egel? Yes. I don't know. You ask a good question. I'm sorry, I don't know an answer. I saw somewhere, just an addition to this, somewhere, I don't remember where it was, I saw this, that we find two types of people who were involved in the Mishkan. And they were on opposite spectrums of Klal Yisrael. They were? Bezalel and? Aliyav. So Bezalel is the great Miyuchas, Shevet Judah, Ben Uri Ben Chur, people who were Moshe Nefesh, Shevet Judah, who was it who jumped into from Shevet Judah? What was the name? Nashem and Aminyod and Mata Yehuda, and Chur was Moshe Nefesh for Hashem. The big Miyuchasim of Klal Yisrael. Sorry? Einikel of Miriam, big Miyuchasim. Who was Aliyah ben Achisamach Lamati Don? I don't know why Don, what they did to deserve the title of Pechusa Shebishwa. I'm not sure what they did. Pesach Micha, thank you, yes, okay. They were not the great leaders, the big cheerleaders of Klal Yisrael. And from them came Aliyov, and he's standing equal to Bezalel and Aliyov. So the idea is the same, because it's the Rachmana Liboboi, and the quality of the Shekhinah that a person imbues from his heart is equal no matter who does it. And that's the principle of Rachmana Liboboi, but also the principle of Echot HaMarbe v'Echot HaMamit of Ad Shechaven Libo L'Hashemayim. That when a person invests their own particular generosity to Hashem, then the results are the same. They both are zoicha to build a Mishkan, to bring the Shekhinah to the world, and to bring the Torah and the Shekhinah amongst Klal Yisrael in equal measure, no matter where they're standing and what their status is. A very lovely idea. Okay, let's move on and examine some other items from Vayakel Pekudei. And since it is a great repetition, we can also go back and talk about things that appear in the Mishkan and in the Big Day Kohuna anyway, because it's repeated, we have the permission to do so. The next big item that comes up at the beginning of Vayakel Pekudei is obviously Shabbos and the Mishkan. Shabbos and the Mishkan. Now, something of what I'm going to say now, I said a while ago, a couple of years ago, but I saw a big addition to it from Rav Shimon Schwab. So, Ein Beis HaMedrash B'lo Chiddush. So even if you do remember this, and some people here definitely will, I know my audience so far already, some people definitely will, but there's a Chiddush already, there's Chiddushim, and it was a Chiddush to me to hear how Rav Shimon Schwab teaches this little bit. He explains it in a very, very, very beautiful way. We find Shabbos is mentioned in association with the building of the Mishkan. We find Shabbos is associated with the building of the Mishkan. Particularly, which malacha is associated, of Shabbos is associated? Havara. Because where's Havara? The malacha of Havara. Vayaviru koil b'machan aleimar ish v'isha al yasu oid malacha lisrum asakoidesh vayikole ho'om. Mehavi. So from there we learn the malacha of Hoitzah, and we also learn the other aspect of Hoitzah, which is Havara Birshus Arabim. We find also the Navi, twice the Nevi'im, when they mention Shabbos, they mention the malacha of Hoitzah specifically. Yirmiyah the Navi, he says, Yishamru b'nafshoy seichem, v'altisu masa b'yoyim ha-Shabbos. Of the whole of Shabbos that he was rebuking Klal Yisrael, it seems specifically either they were lax dafka in Hoitzah, in carrying, or that somehow this is a more significant part, something that needed to be mentioned specifically for some reason. The same comes to Nehemiah. When Nehemiah came back to Yerushalayim, he noticed that they weren't keeping Shabbos specifically. They were bringing masav and all different things. They were carrying in and out of Yerushalayim, in and out of the walls of the city. So this particular malacha gets a lot of airtime in the Nevi'im. Sorry? Was Hitzah as well? Mavid Alam, thank you. Yeah, no, it didn't occur to me that. Thank you very much. Very, very good. And Rav Shimon Schwab points out that of all the malachas in Masechta, in the Gemara, Hoitzah is the one that takes the most space. It takes a few parokim over the Masechta, and the whole Masechta is devoted to the antidote to it of Erevin, whereas most other malachas have a couple of lines, a daf, a page or two, some of them literally only a few lines, and zehu, that's it.
And the Masechta starts with
Hoitzah. That's it. The story begins with Hoitzah, and it ends with Mavid Al Adamas Bishus Arabim. Shimon Schwab goes even further, and he says you find that for Mavid Al Adamas Bishus Arabim, Chazal were very fussed up about it, because they cancelled Shofar, Lulav, Megillah, Tvilas Kalim, on the chashash that someone's going to carry Al Adamas Bishus Arabim. And he emphasized more, because Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara always say that, oh, it's because he's going to be Mavid Dalad Amas B'Rishus Arabim? Why don't they say he's going to be Moitzi Merishus L'Rishus? He's going to carry out into the street. And Tosfos answers, because it's not so shayach, it's not mistaba that a person, it's not so possible for a person to carry out into the street, because there you've got lots of reminders not to. You've got a fence and a gate, and you've got a Pesach, and you've got all other reminders that remind you not to, and therefore, Chazal was specifically worried about the Dal Adamas B'Rishus Arabim, where there's no reminder, more than they were the actual act of Hoitzah itself. And therefore, Tosfos makes the Cheshbon, Tosfos says, that when are you over Mavid Dal Adamas B'Rishus Arabim? Because if I pick it up in my house, and I walk out into the street, and I walk 5 miles in the street, I'm not over Mavid, because I have done my Akira B'Rishus Arabim, Hayochid. To be over Dal Adamas, you have to stop, and so on. So Tosfos comes to the conclusion that the Chashash was, the problem that they were worried about was someone who left his Megillah, or Shofar, or Lulav in the B'Rishus Arabim somehow. And he picked it up and he went for a walk, Dal Adamas, and you remember, oive. So it's a very, very, very distant obscure chashash, but Chazal felt it important enough to make a statement about the significance of it, even if it's just a theoretical impossibility almost, it's never going to happen, kimat, but it was important enough to be mevatel b'sheva al ta'aseh, to tell people not to do certain mitzvahs, to remind the principle as a testimony to the significance of this mitzvah, of this aspect of Shabbos, more than anywhere, any other. So they say it's a malacha gerua. But what does it mean? It's a cheap malacha. What does it mean?
They tended to treat it more lightly than other
malachas. Yes, they did. They tended to treat it more lightly. So Rav Hirsch explains as follows. And this bit I've said, and then we'll add on the bit that Rav Shimon Schwab explains. Rav Hirsch says this. You find in the malachas, there's the bulk of the malachas, which all conform to a certain idea. And they conform to the idea, the thought that you shouldn't make a change in the world on Shabbos. That means don't take anything and change its status. Don't show that you're a balabos over this. I can make it into something else. I can show my mastery of this item or object. I can chop a tree down. I can make it into a chair or a table. I can take raw food and make it into something different. I can craft and carve because I'm a balabos over it. By doing all of those things, you show you're a balabos. And on Shabbos, we're supposed to show that we're in Hashem's space. Imagine I come as a guest into your house. You invite me in and I sit down and I say, ooh, you know what? I don't like the way you've arranged the pictures on the wall here. So I think you should move that picture over there. And I go take a hammer and start knocking a nail in and I move your pictures around. I don't like the way you've laid out your furniture. I think it should be different. And I start rearranging all your furniture. Even if I'm a guest and I'm in my guest room, a chutzpah that I should move my furniture around, you're a guest over here. It's not your place. You just leave things alone. So whereas in the whole week, Hashem allows us to be the balabos over the world, one day he asks us to show that it's his hotel. We're in Hashem's guest house. So don't rearrange the furniture one day a week just to demonstrate the principle that Hashem made this and this is his. All of the malachas conform to that besides the malacha of Haitzah, obviously, because Haitzah you don't change anything. There's no change, there's no balabos over this. I demonstrate my mastery, I move it from one place to the other. The object is precisely the same.
How will you explain Boira?
You do explain Boira pretty much in the same way, because you can sort things out. If this is one inferior object as it is, and I separate the quality of it, I make it into something better. So there is that concept there as well. So Rav Hirsch says that all of the Lamed Ches Malachas are a testimony to Zecher L'Maase Bereishis, that Hashem made the world. So don't rearrange furniture just one day a week. But there's another aspect to the world, and that is the fact that Hashem runs the history of the world as well. It's not just that he created it, but that he is constantly involved in it as well. Not I created it and I've gone off to play golf, like the president. He's become the president, and then he spends a lot of his time running around doing other things. He just leaves it to all the minions and forgets about it. Hashem is actively involved in this world, and he's guiding the history. He's busy guiding people's lives. He's involved in our lives. And he wants us to acknowledge that not just in the creation, in the making of this world, of the Bria, did he but that he's busy with it right now. And therefore, Haitzah means, says Rav Hirsch, Haitzah means moving around the human world, the historical world, the social world, if you want. Whereas my Rishus Ayochet to the Rishus Rabbi means how I interact between myself, myself as an individual and other people, and the Tzibur around me. Ma'avid Aladamas means to make progress with the Tzibur, to help the Tzibur. In the public space, I make progress, I help them. So I interact with myself privately and with other people, and how I interact as part of the Tzibur, that is the social interaction that we have. That's the interaction bein odom l'chaveiroi. So it's not just in the physical world Hashem wants us to acknowledge him. He wants us to acknowledge him in our social world as well, in the historical world, in the world of people. And that's the malacha of Haitzah. That's the malacha of don't move things around from one rishus to another, which means acknowledge Hashem in all your dealings in the world of history. Now that sounds like a nice idea, but what does it actually mean? What's the meaning of that? What's the concept there? What's the meaning of it? So it means this, Rav Hirsch says this in many places, and this is an idea which some people struggle with, and I'll try and explain it, and it is as follows. That when we recognize Hashem as a master, it's not enough that we should recognize Hashem as a master in general, but that every one of our dealings with people need to be shaped by recognizing Hashem as master there as well. Every act of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi has to be built on recognizing Hashem as the master of that interaction. Not just when I deal with Hashem, or I acknowledge Hashem made the world, and I do things for Hashem, but every time I deal with another person, that acknowledgement has to govern that relationship as well. How do I deal with you now? That has to be governed by recognizing Hashem as the master of this interaction as well. It's a hard concept. What does it mean? So the Sforim say, and I'd like to try and explain a bit, that without Bein Adam L'Makom, there would be no Bein Adam L'Chaveroi as well. Without Bein Adam L'Makom, there would be no Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. I saw this expressed as a vort last week, where Moshe smashed the Luchos. So it says, Vayashlich mi yodov es haluchos. Vayashlich mi yodoi. The ksiv is mi yodoi. And the kri is miyodov, plural, from his hands. And I saw one of the Sforim say that originally Moshe came down and he thought, which side of the two luchais, which one of them have they broken? They've broken the first luach, where it says, don't serve my desire. So I'll drop that one. Why should I keep the next one? Yeah, okay. Why should I not drop the next one as well? So the vort goes that once you drop the Bein Adam L'Makom, the Bein Adam L'Chaveroi goes with it as well. So some people have that difficult, and if you say this at large, people say, why? Can't you just be don't you want to just be a nice person anyway? Why do you have to have Hashem to be a humanistic, whatever the word is, type of person and be good to other people because it's just the right thing to do? And the answer is, you're right. It is the nice thing to do to be nice. But everybody has negius, everyone has selfishness, and that's a natural instinct. The natural part of life is to be self-centered. So when you're in the mood and it happens to be convenient for you to be nice to another person, very good. And that's what happens in the world. Ilamole Mayra Ishesra'eu Chayim Balai is an absolute fact everywhere. And all the people who spout humanism and all other those nice ideas, it doesn't stand up in principle. Unless you have some outside authority to which will help you govern that relationship, even when it goes against your personal selfish interest, even if it's inconvenient for you, but for Hashem, I deal with this person in a specific way, there is no Bein Adam L'Chaveroi under those circumstances. And therefore, the Malacha of Hoitzah recognizes the big avoider in our lives, and that is to deal with people properly. And that is probably why Chazal made such a massive issue of it, because it is the bulk of our life. It is the bulk of the way we deal with people, is the big aspect of our avoider Hashem, to make that into an avoider Hashem as well. But Rav Shimon Schwab adds a different dimension to this. It's a very big chiddush to me, and I enjoyed it very much. Rav Shimon Schwab says that Hoitzor is Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just Hashem in history, but particularly the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Because when Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, that was the Bechira of an Am Kodosh. And therefore, the Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRabim means you have to keep yourself apart. Don't step out easily between the private Rishus, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and to everywhere else. And even when you are outside, being Mavid Dal Adamas, this is an idea which I borrow from the Maharal. Rav Shimon Schwab doesn't say so. Maharal always says that Dal Adamas is a symbol of the space, the place of a person. A place of a person is always Dal Adamas al Dal Adamas. It symbolizes a person's place, where I belong. So even when you are in the Rishus HaRabim, out and about, don't make that your place. Don't become a permanent part of it and be maver, become involved to that extent. Because to protect the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, you do need a certain distance, you must keep it, and you must recognize the value of it. And even where we do interact, we're not Ma'avid Alam. We don't become so involved that we get lost in it. And we're always able to come back to the Rishus HaYochid and stay and Am Kodesh. And that's Hoitzah, according to Rav Shimon Schwab. That's how he explains it in Rav Hirsch. And that is the Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's even better why Chazal was so makpid on it. Because it really does symbolize the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, without which we would be just everybody else. And there'd be no reason to want to keep the Torah, to want to stay apart, to want to be the way that Hashem asks us to be. Yes, thank you. Okay. So now I'd like to share just two further ideas, and if there's time, maybe another one. And these relate to the I learned them from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, and they relate to the Big Day Kahuna. Where, let's take two points, two very nice ideas. We find the Kohen Gadol, he wore the names of Klal Yisrael twice on his person. Not once, twice. Once on his heart, and the other time on his shoulders. So, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, the Kohen Gadol, in his image, he represents what Hashem is thinking. That means, he is the ideal model servant of Hashem. The model of what a real Eved Hashem should look like is represented in the way the Kohen Gadol presents himself. All of the begodim, everything he wears, is geared up to demonstrating how a model servant of Hashem should look. And that really is a reflection of what how Hashem wants us to think. So Klal Yisrael obviously play a very big part in the space of a servant of Hashem, the space of a Kohen Gadol. They're on his heart and they're on his shoulders, which means that they are, so to speak, on Hashem's heart and on Hashem's shoulders. Because, what does that mean? It means that a big part of serving Hashem is to have Klal Yisrael in your heart and to bear the burdens of Klal Yisrael with you as well. And they are a symbol that Hashem has Klal Yisrael in his heart, tomid. The choshen has to be on his heart, tomid. They're on his heart always, they're in his thoughts, he's looking for them, he's thinking of them constantly, and they're on his shoulders always. He's constantly bearing the burdens of Klal Yisrael all the way. And that is the lesson of Noisei Ba'olim Chaver, how to bear the burdens of the tzibur on your shoulder, to keep them in your heart at all times, is what the Choshen says. And we look to the various great people of our history who were excelled in Noisei Ba'olim HaTzibur, Noisei Ba'olim Chaveroi, where Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great Baal Musa, coined the phrase, I believe he did, another person's Gashmias is your Ruchnias. Looking after another person is your Ruchnias, is a great thing. We find, I saw something from Rav Shlomo Volba. Rav Shlomo Volba says, why is it that in the Second World War, in the early years of the war, so the Jews of Eastern Europe, of Poland and Lithuania, gravitated towards Vilna. The yeshivas all came there, and people fled towards Vilna. Why was it so? Sorry? So Rav Shlomo Volba says, it was because of Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski. Why? What does he mean? And he says, because Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski was the great Oyhev Yisrael of his time, of his generation. Above all of his Ga'inus and above all of his Tzidkus, whatever it was, he was a Oyhev Yisrael of the highest degree. And before he died, Hashem gave him the huge Zechus of bearing the burdens of Klal Yisrael at such a time where the zechus for him would be so great. So Hashem arranged the history that everything should come through Vilna, so he should bear their burdens because that was his purest desire. I love that taich in history, that for the sake of this great tzaddik, that's why it happened. I believe it. And I think it's entirely mistaba that Hashem would arrange those events for the sake of the tzaddik, that he should have the zechus to handle the noisei ba'oil of such a huge tzibur in such a time. And then when there was nothing left to do, taka, he died. There was nothing more that could be done. So that was his tafkid, that was his time. What a beautiful idea. But the Oyhev Yisrael, the tzaddik, the one who is an Evet Hashem, Klal Yisrael have to be part, a big part of the thought process, and the helping the tzibur, looking after other people, is a massive part of Avodas Hashem. On a slightly different note, slightly different tune, Rabbi Avigdor Miller points to another part of the Kohen Gadol, and that is the jingle bells. The ding-a-ling that the Kohen Gadol used to have to wear. So when you hear that sound, the Kohen Gadol approaching and so on, it inspires a certain amor, a certain awe. Besides for the Derech Eretz aspect of it, which I'm sure we've all dealt with, it inspires a certain awe, the Kohen Gadol's approaching, and it inspires an awe in him himself. If he walks in silence, when he walks in silence, he's lost to his thoughts. But as he generates noise, the noise generates a certain response to it. Especially if you understand what that represents. I'm approaching Hashem now, I'm approaching the Mokom HaMishkan. The noise generates a certain thought process. And it generates a certain feeling. More than no noise. That's the power of noise. Noise can generate an emotion. And triggering that emotion, that Amor, that year of approaching the Mokom HaMikdash, these bells, they did that. That's what they did. But the interesting thing is that the Torah specifies, it's obvious that if you're wearing bells, they're going to ring all the time. They're going to ring as you walk, wherever you walk, they're going to make a noise. But the Torah specifies that the V'nishma koilo bevoyo el ha-kodesh u'betzeisoi. That it's not just that he should arouse these feelings in himself when he goes in, bevoyo el ha-kodesh, but equally when he goes out. These thoughts, these feelings of Yirah, have to be present in his mind when he leaves the Mikdash as well. Why is that? I understand when he goes in that this noise should generate some thoughts in his mind, they should inspire him with Yirah, but why is there emphasis on when he goes out? What's the significance there? And Rabbi Avigdor Miller says that the way a person goes away from Avodas Hashem is as much a revelation of the quality on how they go into it as well. Because if a person is a tinoik habareach mi beis ha-sefer, then that casts doubt on the whole quality of what it was. What were you doing there? You don't run away from something which you're enjoying, something which you feel a place where you belong. And therefore, as much as it's important to go into it with the right attitude, it's equally important to come away from it with the right attitude. And therefore, Chazal say, when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you take 4 steps back, stand still for a while. Don't dash off. Stand still. Why? Because if you just walk away, it's kekelev shoval keo. It's a very, very harsh expression, like a kelev shoval keo, which we don't need to translate, but it's a very harsh expression. Why? Because going away from is also it reveals. It's a revelation, and hence you have the big day after Yom Tov is called Isruchag. That's the importance of the Isruchag. Finished. Zoom. I'm off. Isruchag means to wait a while. Allow it to linger a little bit, because that also says something about the way the person felt towards the... Sorry? Yes, that's right. You have to do that as well. Okay, so there's some ideas and thoughts on Parshas V'yakeh B'Kudei. Shkach. Amen.